somebody in you in accordance with their eyes. Now, that is not an imperative to you to change your code of conduct, to change your way of life to please them. It merely makes it easier for you to communicate to that person and to deal with them on whatever basis you have to. Because you are not saying to yourself, I am perfect, they are deviating from that, and they should realize it as well as I do. You are instead recognizing that there must be some imperfection in you according to their standards, because you are just as irrational. Your actions are just as illogical or incomprehensible. Now, there's also another use of the word rational, which might be defined analytical, calculated, predetermined, controlled, whatever it may be. And this would be in contrast to the word emotional. I would define emotion as uncontrolled feeling or unpredetermined feeling, anything of this sort. An emotion is simply a feeling that has overcome you, that has no deliberation on your part to put yourself in that position. You feel fear at a particular time, even though you don't want to, and this is an emotion that has taken hold of you. There can also be good emotions, uncontrolled feelings, for instance, that you might experience in the feeling of well-being at some particular time. But what I have been saying, of course, is to arrange the circumstances rationally, meaning arrange them analytically, control the circumstances, control the framework in such a way that within that framework you can act emotionally. You can act spontaneously. You can let the feelings come to you as they will in that situation because you're not afraid that at any given time you're going to act from an emotional standpoint and do something that's going to ruin your tomorrow or next year, that's going to give you bad long-term consequences. And I refer to this specifically with the act of sex, that only the person who approaches it analytically, cold-heartedly, logically, and so forth can really get the maximum joy out of sex. Because if he has not arranged the proper framework within which to enjoy it, he is going to be afraid that he is going to have problems tomorrow as a result of what he's doing today, that this person he's with may react against him badly when it is all over, that this may be wrong, that that may be bad, that the police are going to break in any minute, whatever it may be. The point is that there's always going to be something clawing and tearing at him to prevent him from enjoying this thing, from really swallowing himself up in the emotional experience at the moment. But if he has analytically arranged the framework so that it is right and that he is protected from any detrimental consequence, then he can dive in and get swallowed up by it and forget completely any thought of tomorrow or next week or what's going to come as a result of this, because he knows that that's all taken care of and he no longer has to worry about it. It's like getting your work done before you have to get to bed. You can sleep that much easier because you're not thinking about all that you're going to have to do when you get up in the morning. It's the exact same kind of an analogy. This is what I mean by acting emotionally with an irrational structure. Yes?
You said that the individual always reaps the consequences of his behavior. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
When you say that Franklin Roosevelt would reap the consequences of his behavior?
I couldn't answer that question. I have no way of knowing what he went through before he died. I have no way of knowing what he may have enjoyed or suffered. I have no way of knowing what kind of a personal life he led. And I have no way of knowing that he did something that would produce bad consequences. So I'm just totally incapable of judging, and I'm not trying to determine this statement or principle of bad consequences from bad acts as a result of Franklin Roosevelt's life, but as a result of my life. Because Franklin Roosevelt's acts may have been good for him, meaning that they produced good consequences. Maybe the things I think he did that I wouldn't care to do myself and I wouldn't like to have done to me, maybe all of those then become wrong by my standard. But if they didn't bring him bad consequences, I haven't got a leg to stand on in trying to convince him or anyone else that they're bad acts. The only possible basis upon which you can say an act is bad is that it will produce bad consequences to the actor. And if they didn't produce bad consequences to FDR, then on what basis can I say they were wrong in the first place? So what I'm trying to determine is what kind of consequences I want. The kind I don't want mean bad consequences, and bad acts will be those that bring bad consequences. The consequence precedes the act mentally, meaning you act in order to get the consequences. The consequences are the goal, which is the reason for the action. You don't determine the act first and then determine the consequences. You are determining what consequences you want and then determine what act will bring those. Yes?
Well, actually, an individual, it seems to me, under what you just said now, an individual, and this is the thing that's disturbing about the court's action, an individual can behave in such a way that he can rely